The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck program. Glenn still on vacation until a few days from now. He'll be back. 888-727-BECK. Almost forgot the phone number. It's been a while. Because normally we're doing the Pat Gray Unleashed show immediately following this show on the Blaze Radio and Television Network. Tune in then as well. Interesting couple of weeks over the holidays. Hope you had a great Christmas and New Year's, and there was certainly some interesting New Year's celebrations. CNN, for instance, showed America how to do bong hits. Isn't that great?
Yes.
Yeah, it was very helpful, especially if your kids are watching and they're not familiar with how to actually take a bong hit. If they're not familiar with a gas mask bong, now they are, which is pretty helpful. Thank you, CNN.
Well, nothing says ring in the new year like a gas mask bong.
Sure doesn't. And so that's apparently what CNN thought as well. Because they didn't have Kathy Griffin to be super offensive and do ridiculously stupid things. They had another CNN reporter do something stupid and ridiculously insane things. They actually had a reporter in Colorado on a cannabis, which is a pot bus, on the way to a pot party where they were going to paint and do pot. I guess.
I mean, that was their whole guise for the news
story.
We're on a cannabis.
Right.
We're reporting from Colorado where it's legal.
Yes, except for it's not. Because the state law does not supersede federal law. And smoking pot is still illegal on a federal level. So Colorado, California, Washington, and I believe there's a few others, continue to break federal law by writing their own local and state laws. And it's interesting because CNN took advantage of that.
Yes, they did.
Their reporter actually put on a gas mask bong, and it was already filled, I guess, stuffed with pot.
No, I don't think so.
Pot.
I think they filled it up later.
She said it was already stuffed. Well, here's the report. It's a really good one, and hopefully you got a chance to see it. If not, I really highly recommend you go to YouTube and have your children watch it so that they understand.
All right, well,
to do a bong hit. Here's that segment.
I do want to go to Randy Kay. She's joining us again along with she's in Colorado where I guess recreational marijuana
she's
use.
She's surrounded by weed. Did you get me the Chiba Chews?
She's on a pot bus, basically. How's it going, Randy?
It's going great. I'm definitely earning the nickname Kush K, that's for sure. Right. Oh, yeah. Oh,
I don't get that reference, do you? You must.
How do you know a Kush?
No. Pat. Honestly, I don't.
Stop.
A Kush K is what?
You're embarrassing yourself.
Okay. Sorry. Okay. I'm sorry I'm not hip enough to the hip to the pot culture as I should be. You don't even know what that is?
I can guess what it is, but you know, I don't know for sure what
Seriously?
She's referring to.
You don't even know?
No, I don't.
Oh, wow.
Well, everybody knows what Kush is. So listen, I came prepared, you know, this year. I thought maybe I would bring a gas mask with me so I wouldn't, you know, get that contact high. But look at what's on the other end of the gas mask. Yes, a bong. And of course, they couldn't stand to see a bong that didn't have any cannabis in it.
See?
So you actually put it in the bong, you filled
it
up.
With pot.
And
you packed it.
Okay, so you're going to, now what? Now you're going to celebrate a little New Year's early or what?
I'm honest with you, I've never hit one of these.
Oh, right.
So
okay.
She's at this point reaching back and lighting the bong for him.
I don't think this is really what a gas mask is used for, but wow. Okay.
Wow, okay.
This is New Year's Eve Denver
this
style.
This is legal
everybody.
In Colorado. I know.
Oh, boy.
I'm moving
it
to Colorado.
It is legal. It is very legal. Wow. But we are making our way to a puff, pass, and paint party. Yes, Anderson, go.
Puff, pass, and paint.
Okay, yeah, so just explain what...
I mean, that is unbelievable.
That sure is.
That is unbelievable. People were actually tweeting, you know, and keep in mind, these are CNN fans, presumably, you know, so they're probably somewhat left of center. And even the CNN viewers weren't especially appreciating it because they had kids
watching the New Year's Eve thing with the family.
Yeah. Hey, I got to turn this off because you're showing my kids how to do bong hits. That's our job, darn it. What has happened to journalism in this country? Well, it just doesn't exist anymore.
Well, to be a little bit fair, CNN has always tried to be aloof on New Year's with their coverage, right? I mean, that's why the Kathy Griffin and the Anderson Cooper. And that's
you can't
why
have it both ways,
it.
Though. And I don't know why Anderson Cooper continues to put his credibility on the line like this.
Because I think he just has fun with it, right? I mean, I don't know. I seriously don't know, but I guess he just has fun with it.
Would Walter Cronkite have had fun with a bong hit?
The times are a little bit different than that.
Yeah. Yeah, clearly.
A little bit different. I mean, Walter probably wouldn't have broadcast himself with a, you know, a pot mask.
Huntley Brinkley probably wouldn't have, you know, donned the bong mask.
They may have. If there was a bus, perhaps. I mean, who am I to say?
Americans? We're Americans. That's who we are to say. And it's just, it's embarrassing.
That's for sure.
How far downhill television news has traveled. It's incredible. It is literally embarrassing. And I'm not even a CNN fan, and I'm just horrified on their behalf because they're not horrified enough.
No, they are not. No, they are not. They could care less. And if you weren't fortunate enough to be able to watch it, I just tweeted the story out at JeffyMRA, so you'd be able to see it for yourself and share it with your family if you missed it on New Year's Eve, because, you know, for sure you want to be able to let your kids know how to wear the mask properly.
Right. If you're not familiar enough to teach them, CNN certainly is and was and handled that
so
for
bad.
You. I mean, it just shows you that America's gone to pot.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Traffic and weather together every 3 minutes on the twos. I got that right. It's actually every 2 minutes on the threes.
Thank you.
Yeah, we changed it for the new year.
So bad. But
if you want some actual hard-hitting CNN news, they did take the opportunity yesterday to make sure to bash the president again.
Of course.
In a ridiculous way, in a not introspective way, having no clue for the way they've gone overboard on Trump criticism. They had Woodward and Bernstein on a segment, and actually, it was so ridiculous that Woodward actually jumps in at the end of Bernstein's rant about what a great job the press is doing generally. And kind of corrects it just a bit.
And we need to admit our mistakes. We oughtn't to be too provocative, which we sometimes are, with a president who's putting a lot of bait out there. And sometimes we take the bait and get a little petty.
So, see, it's not their fault, according to Bernstein. Even then, it's not their fault. He's put out the bait, and we've taken it.
I'd like to see a lot less of criticizing on our air the president for playing golf. Let him play all the golf he wants. I don't think that's our job. We've got a deadly, serious inquiry in front of us, and the reporting, by and large, by the mainstream press, by the New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, the Wall Street Journal, has been some of the greatest reporting of the presidency that we have seen in the last 50, 60 years.
Amen, Carl.
Amen from the little CNN reporterette.
You didn't hear me the first time.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, we are the greatest. We've done the greatest job on reporting on the president in the last 50, 60, let's not even stop there. Let's say since the dawn of time, we've done the greatest reporting on a president that anyone's ever done.
Amen.
Are you kidding me? But she's eating it up.
But if real quickly.
Finally, in comes Bob Woodward.
The tone is a big issue here.
I agree.
Yes.
Reporting, particularly on television commentary, there's a kind of self-righteousness and smugness and people kind of ridiculing the president.
Where are the amens now? Amen! Amen! Hallelujah! No, complete silence.
When we reported on Nixon, it was obviously a very different era. But we did not adopt a tone of ridicule. The tone was, what are the facts?
I have to, before we go, I have to ask about something that you informed me about.
Before we go, I've got to change the subject now, because now you're criticizing us, and I can't have that, because I was given the amens and the hallelujahs to Bernstein, who was attacking the president and calling our job the greatest in the last 50 to 60 years. Really? Come on.
Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, we've done a great job. They've got no, they have no realization of the kind of job they've actually done, which has been horrific. They gave no criticism at all to the last president. They gave, they never paid attention to the fact, I mean, they call Trump a liar all the time, and he's, you know, had his share of lies, but never did they call Barack Obama out on lying virtually every day. Well, they didn't even notice it. They didn't care about it. They did no reporting on it that was critical. What was it? 5% of the mainstream media's reports have been positive on Donald Trump.
Yeah, well, for the first 60 days, for sure. And this year has been horrifically negative toward President Trump.
Yeah, it's something like 62 to 65% or something of all reporting has been negative on
him. It was, you know, I've actually, and we've talked about this a couple times in the past, you know, last year, that they make us defend him. I mean, we want to be able to say, look, here's what's happening. Here's the facts. This is what's going on, whether we like it or not, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's true, whether it's false. But instead of that, we have to say, well, you know, give the guy a break.
Yeah. Well, because
I mean,
they're so
everything
overboard.
Is wrong.
They're so unbelievably overboard in their criticism of Trump that it almost forces you to defend him.
I mean, he is the president after all.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to break that to you, but he won.
Yes, he did.
Won.
They don't want to admit that.
No, they do not.
But it is the fact. All right. This half of the Glenn Beck program brought to you by Simply Safe. If you've been thinking about your home security, there's no better time to get it than right now. You've heard Glenn. You've heard Stu. You've heard me sing the praises of Simply Safe Home Security. And that's because it's just the best home protection you can get, period. Simply Safe has put together a massive security arsenal for your home. Special package, handpicked just for you. It's got entry sensors, motion sensors, glass break sensors, everything you need to stop criminals from ever touching your home. These are the guys we trust. And right now, Simply Safe is giving you an absolutely incredible offer. You can get $200 off this handpicked security package. Complete protection for your home. Simply Safe is already the best value in home security. There's no contracts. You don't have to sign up for a long period of time. There's no big commitments. And right now, I mean, right now, you can get $200 off this security package. So take advantage of this by going to SimplySafeBeck.com. That's SimplySafeBeck.com. Possibly the best home security deal you'll ever see. SimplySafeBeck.com to save $200 on Simply Safe's home security package. SimplySafeBeck.com.
Glenn Beck.
To all of the cries, as you said a few minutes ago, Trump is a president. And that's what the media used to continually remind the right about Barack Obama.
He won.
Hey, he's the president. He won. You've got to have respect for the president. You can't be criticizing him like this. And we actually, you know, I don't think it was really personal. It was about his policies.
Yeah.
It was about the fact that we didn't want socialism and he had socialist tendencies.
Huh.
I mean, he said he likes redistribution of wealth, which is a Marxist principle. He instituted Obamacare, which took control of the American healthcare system, insurance system. So, you know, there were obvious criticisms to make there. And if you tried to make them during the Obama years, you were a racist. They didn't even pay attention to what it was you were saying. They didn't care about the substance.
Immediately you were a racist.
Right.
But as we as the Pew Research Center found, 6 in 10 stories on Trump's early days in office, negative assessment. That's okay. 3 times more than the early coverage of Obama, twice that of Bush and Clinton.
So it's even worse than Bush.
Yeah.
And it's far worse than Obama. So, but they have no awareness. There's no self-awareness there at all. They think they're fine. In fact, they think they've done the best coverage, according to Bernstein, in 50 to 60 years. You can't be serious. 888-727-BECK. Jody in Florida. Hi, you're on the Glenn Beck Program with Pat and Jeffy.
Happy New Year, guys.
Happy
Thanks
New
for
Year.
Taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to the news drive-by medias, and it blew me away. Jeffy was right. They don't know that Trump has won. All weekend long, it was President Obama did this. President Obama was seen here. But everything else was Trump, Trump, Trump had people down at his White House. Trump. And they don't even realize, and they don't even give him that honor of being president. And that's frustrating.
It is very frustrating.
Yes, it
thanks
is.
For the call. And it is. You're right. It's a little slam every single time it they sure report is. On him. Not to apply the word president before. And, you know, you can understand it every once in a while, or you're not always paying attention to that. But they almost never call him President Trump.
Right.
It's with complete disrespect.
And they was not my president. Well, you know, guess what? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. American citizen. Yeah, he is. So you can say that all you want, but he is.
And it's been interesting to watch Barack Obama during this time period, because the tradition is that an ex-president doesn't bash the policies of the current president, of the sitting president. Now, George W. Bush, as we all know, stayed out of the fray. He stayed out of it, despite the fact that they blamed him for every ill in our country.
Nothing but hammer him.
Almost
every turn.
Almost the entire 8 years. It wasn't just the first term. Even in the second term, they're still blaming everything that went wrong on Bush.
They're still trying now.
And he sat silently on the sidelines. And it's interesting because Obama, former President Obama, is out there now criticizing Trump.
Just as a side note, you never hear them say former President Obama.
No,
either.
It's President Obama.
I mean, if you're lucky to hear mm-hmm. President Trump, but you never hear former President Obama. I think I'm going to look it up right now again, but it seemed to me I was looking at his Twitter account, and his Twitter account still has him, you know, it says, you know, President. It doesn't say former
amazing.
President.
It's amazing.
It most certainly.
Now,
is.
Obama said when he left office, he was going to try to stay out of Donald Trump's hair unless it was really, really important. Well, he's found virtually every issue to be really, really, really important. And he's jumped in to talk about, of course, the fight of Obamacare and many other issues. And Obama said reality continues to discredit the false claim that this law, Obamacare, is in a death spiral. Nothing could be more untrue than that statement from Obama. It is in a death spiral, and it needs to be repealed. He says, likewise, this law is no job killer. So he's been speaking about Trump. Sometimes he doesn't call him by name, but you know who he's talking about. And George W. Bush didn't do any of that. One of Obama's spokespeople said, President Obama feels it's important to provide the same respect to the current. So they even admit that he got that respect. He feels it's important to provide the same respect to the current administration that was provided to him by the Bush administration. President Bush and his team gave President Obama and his team the space to do our jobs and did not come forward and comment on every decision that we made. And surely they disagreed with a lot of what we were doing.
Because you were bludgeoning them with bats every time you could.
Yes.
No matter what. We're just going to pummel you.
And every issue was the opposite of where Bush stood on it. Nearly every issue.
And not a word from W, which was really frustrating at the time.
It really kind of was.
It is kind of frustrating still today, as a matter of fact.
Really kind of was. Obama now says, folks don't feel real good right now about what they see. So he's talking about Trump without actually
Absolutely.
Naming him. Maybe they don't feel as if our public life reflects our best. Our democracy is at stake. When is this guy going to understand we are not a democracy?
Pretty sure you've told him that before.
I'm pretty sure.
Pretty sure.
And it is important to make that correction because...
Nobody does.
Nobody does.
Nobody does.
Nobody
Man,
does.
Man, that is a huge thing. And you hear it all
the time. And as brilliant as Barack Obama is supposed to be, he's never understood that we're a republic, not a democracy. 888-727-BECK. Your comments as we get the new year started here on the Glenn Beck Program with Pat Gray and Jeffy.
Glenn Beck. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
With Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn this week. 888-727-BECK. In fact, because Glenn is out this week, this building is about 150,000 square feet of wasteland. There's no one here. It's just, I mean, there's not even camera people. There's not makeup people. There's nobody.
You mean there's people filling in for Glenn when he's off?
What? Really?
What?
And so because Glenn's not here and most people are still on vacation, the building is about 14 below zero.
It feels tremendous
in
here.
Oh, my gosh. I have lost all feeling in my hands.
It feels
so good
in here.
I've got frostbite in my toes.
I've got this new little pansy heater down here if you want.
Frigid in here. Because it actually got cold. I mean, legitimately cold in Dallas.
Yes, it did.
This doesn't happen very often, but like the other night, it got down, I think, to about 14 or 15 degrees.
Yeah, I mean, there was ice and, you know, kind of kind of snow.
Yeah.
Not really.
It's sort
kind
of a winter mix. Yeah. No accumulation, obviously. But then the last 2 days didn't get out of the 20s during the day. That hardly ever happens here. So that cold front, that polar vortex that has invaded the country actually hit us fairly hard.
And people were freaking out on New Year's Eve. I mean, I was out early, and there were still ice patches on the road New Year's Eve day, and people were starting
especially
to freak out where they were going to go. And
yeah.
I was like, you know, I'm going to pick up what I need, and I'm back home.
Yeah, definitely.
You people go and drive yourselves into the railings. That's fine with me.
Yeah, in my house, New Year's Eve is really not a thing.
Oh, man, we party.
Not a thing.
No, we party.
Yeah, we eat. Which is a problem. Just eat nonstop and maybe watch a movie or two.
That's for New Year's or just the entire holiday?
Well, the whole holiday.
I mean, most people would think that the entire holiday is like, you know, where you would, I don't know, binge shows mm-hmm. on whatever you're watching, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, mm-hmm. And you would just eat and, you know, nap and mm-hmm. hang out and maybe, you know, maybe look outside once in a while.
A lot of people.
Not
do.
Me, though.
No,
not
you're
over the holidays.
You're a gym rat.
You could not keep me out of the gym.
The gym
oh,
for you.
Man,
just work
Pat,
out
just,
the
I
whole time. Yeah,
I
well, you got to stay in your
The family was like, Dad, are you going to be home at all over the holiday? No, I got to be at the gym. I got to work out. And you don't get this by going
no,
not
that's
going
right.
to the gym every day.
That's right. Night. No. Did you get out to Star Wars?
You know what? No. I didn't go out of my way. I should have. I felt bad because I told my youngest son that we'd go because he's a fan. And I said, all right, I'll go see your stupid Star Wars with you. Because I,
and
you know, I
didn't.
No, and then last night I was like, we never got to see Star Wars. I know. I didn't want to be a pain and keep bugging you about it.
Oh, that was nice of him.
Oh, was it? Because he's a
good
pain
kid.
About everything else. He was a pain about everything else. You did it, but not Star Wars. So, I mean, you saw it, right?
I did. I actually liked this one.
Yeah, a lot of people we ran
into
over the holidays.
My family mostly did not.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Most everybody in my family was like, that was terrible.
Wow.
But I came out of it, and I loved it.
Most of the Star Wars people that we ran into really liked it.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
I know you're a Star Wars guy, though.
Yeah,
so that's
I love Star Wars. Always have. This one actually is interesting because if you look at Rotten Tomatoes, it got huge, great reviews from critics. 90% of critics gave it thumbs up, whereas the audience is only about, I think it was 52 or 54%, which is really low, especially for Star Wars. And it's the opposite of what a Star Wars movie usually is.
Well, what's good about the Star Wars movie, though, is it hasn't made any money at all.
$517 million domestically. It's over $1 billion worldwide.
Yeah. That's unbelievable.
It was number one again over the weekend. And I think for the 4 days, it brought in $68 million. Which is
starting to slow down a little.
Pretty good in week three. But it's on a slower pace than The Force Awakens by quite a bit. At this point, The Force Awakens was at $750 million. This one's at $517 or $530, something like that. Yeah. So it's lagging behind, but
no kidding.
I mean, it's still huge.
But that's lagging behind probably because more people feel like your family.
They're
not going back again.
And there's some problems with it, and I won't explain what my problem is with it in case you haven't seen it, because it would give away some things, and I'm sure you wouldn't appreciate that.
I don't care. Go ahead.
I liked it the best since Return of the Jedi.
Wow.
Yeah. I thought it was the best Star Wars since 1983.
Yeah, that was a long time.
Came out. Yeah.
Yeah, there's been a number of them, right?
I mean, yeah.
Oof, wow.
So that was number one. Jumanji was number two, the reboot with The Rock.
That guy cannot do wrong, man.
He really can't. Pitch Perfect was number three. Greatest Showman, and then Ferdinand, which is
I have to see Showman, too. I really want to see that.
Really?
Yeah, I was told that was really
good. Not about Barnum?
Yeah.
Yeah, P.T. Barnum. Also, an incredible bowl season culminated last night with actually didn't culminate. It's almost over.
Almost over.
And isn't it amazing that football is almost over now?
I know.
The college, we have one collegiate football game left, the national championship between Georgia and Alabama, of course. And we got the NFL playoffs, and that's it. Then we're done. It's gone by so fast.
Boy, no kidding. I ran into a lot. You know, I realize that time ticks on at the same pace over and over, and it doesn't, nothing really, you know, it isn't true, but it feels like 2017 flew by.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, it does not feel, it's 2018 already?
Yeah, it's incredible.
I mean, it's been amazing.
Really.
And I really am amazed that football season is over. Whew, man, that was... I'm missing that a little bit already. Even with the bowl games, I was still missing a little bit of college football season. I like that a lot.
Interesting that Oklahoma and Georgia, that phenomenal game yesterday.
Tremendous game. So much fun to watch.
If you didn't see it or haven't heard about it, or you're in Afghanistan for the weekend, Georgia finally won it 54-48.
Yeah.
You know, in double overtime.
Yeah.
And I was, of course, Georgia won. I was rooting for Oklahoma, and that's just the way the season's gone this year.
You'd have made some money betting with you this year. If whatever you were rooting for, you should have
go the other way.
Opposite.
Go the other way. Exactly right. Exactly. But I've got kind of a man crush on Baker Mayfield. I think the kid he's tremendous. I can't believe they're talking. He might be the third or fourth or fifth quarterback taken in the draft. How do you pass him up?
He's a little agonizing.
Why is he agonizing?
Because he is. He just is.
Exuberant.
That exuberance, that exuberance kind of.
I like the exuberance. I think, you know, if he doesn't turn out to be like Johnny Manziel, I think he's got a big future in the NFL.
As sure as possible. I mean, it's disappointing. He came back, right? He came back
to win
the championship.
The championship. And he got so close.
No defense, though, man. Whew, yeah. No defense. You're not winning a championship.
It's true. The other thing that was fascinating was Central Florida, who, you know, is one of the forgotten schools from
UCF,
our forgotten
the
league.
Knights. Yeah.
They were 12-0 and didn't get into the playoff, obviously. But they beat the team that beat both of the teams in the national championship game.
Think of that.
Proving to me they should have entered the playoffs.
Absolutely.
Should have. 13-0 season. Winning over Auburn in their final game, whatever bowl game that was. What was it's not
I don't remember.
Peach Bowl. Yeah, in the Peach Bowl. And then finishing unbeaten all season.
Good for them.
Wow. There's got to be something done. You got to expand
but
the playoffs.
What's the point system? Well,
got to expand the playoffs to eight.
Either okay, I'm six okay or with eight. That. I'm personally okay with that. Whatever. But yeah. You know, really, with the point system, they did have an issue with, you know, a couple of a lot of the games that were played that against teams that weren't that good.
Yeah, they. So, I mean, which obviously the schedule is gonna hurt them.
But they. I mean,
but
look,
they beat everybody
it.
You put in front of them.
I know they. No one could beat them.
Just like BYU in 1984, they beat everybody you put in front of them. And I mean, what more can you do? What more can you do?
I'm BYU in 1984 because we were talking about the 17-18 bowl season.
Yeah,
is
I
what
know.
We were talking about.
I know, but I was just making a comparison. Is all.
I know, but what about did they win this bowl?
They didn't have a season this year. They didn't play.
Oh, they didn't play.
Yeah, they took the year.
Oh, okay. Because
essentially, that is what happened.
I mean, they didn't lose the bowl game.
No, they did not lose their bowl game. I guarantee you that. All right, 888-727 Beck, Lori in Washington. Welcome to the Glenn Beck Program with Pat and Jeffy.
Hi. Good morning. Happy New Year.
You too.
I need to remind you guys that W has not been silent the entire time during his retirement. Do you remember last fall? When Hillary was out on her god-awful book tour, and then they asked H.W. Bush whether or not he voted for Trump, and he went off and bashed Trump and said, well, no, I didn't vote for him. And then they got to W, and W hemmed and hawed, and he didn't answer whether or not he voted for Trump. And then he was interviewed, and he gave these sort of wimpy answers about some half-hearted support for Trump. And just it sounded like sore loser, you know, our boy didn't win, so of course we're not going to support Trump, which is just petty. So
yeah, you're right. Thanks for the
sure
call. I had forgotten that, and it's interesting that when he does speak out, when the family spoke out, it was against Trump,
correct,
rather than Obama.
Yeah,
a little agonizing, a little irritating. Barbie in Maine, you're on with Pat and Jeffy.
Good morning.
Hi.
And Happy New Year.
You too.
I am calling in regards to President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he is doing the best job that he can after the mess that Obama has made. And people got to give him respect. Just as much as they gave Obama respect, people that didn't like him as well. So,
yeah, they're not.
All in all, he's doing a fantastic job.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Barbie. And I will say, though, I agree. I mean, I don't know if I call the job fantastic. I would say he's doing much better than I thought he was going to do.
Well, up against what he's been up against, no question.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he gets he gets stonewalled and blocked at every turn, despite no matter what the guy does. You know, whatever he has for dinner and lunch is a hated thing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he's done a great job, comparatively speaking, to that.
Yeah.
You know, has he been tremendous?
Yeah. I mean, I will say he's genuinely surprised me. I thought it was going to be a lot worse than this, and he's done pretty well.
Yes, he has.
And he did something. I'm trying to think, what was the latest thing? It was right when we went on vacation a couple of weeks ago.
Well, that was Jerusalem, right?
Yeah, it was right after Jerusalem, because Jerusalem was great, and then he did something else that surprised me. And I can't think of what it is, but I will. 888-727-BECK. Lois in Ohio, you're on with Pat and Jeffy.
Hi. I'm going to try to change the subject matter here on health care. My idea is, why can't you get a couple Republicans, a couple of Democrats, get some CEOs from insurance companies along with hospital administrators and some doctors that actually work with health care, set them together, sequester them in a room for a week or two, whatever you need to do, until they come up with a plan. And that way you get people that actually work with the system to have some input on it, and maybe we can come up with a better plan. Would that work?
Yes, so they'll never do it. it's just, it makes too much sense, Lois.
Well, that's what I think. Common sense and government does not work together.
Right. They have no relationship whatsoever. Appreciate the call. 888-727-BECK.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
So tax cuts passed, House and Senate. Got that done. Also, just before Christmas, the Trump administration, through Nikki Haley, who's doing a tremendous job as UN ambassador,
standing tall, man.
They cut the amount that the United States gives to the UN by $285 million. Now, that's a drop in the bucket compared to what we pay to keep that hideous organization in operation.
That's a lot of money from slush funds, though.
But that's pretty darn good.
You aren't lying, it is.
$285 million, that's a good start. We should just kick them off the entire continent. But barring that, this is a great move.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that they're not letting the UN push us around. The UN got together and it's like 130 countries condemned us for stating that Jerusalem was the capital of Israel. Are you kidding me? Unbelievable. And so Nikki Haley has said, we will not forget this. We're going to take names here. And in the future, you're going to be sorry.
Yeah.
Essentially, she didn't say it exactly that way. But in the future, you're going to be sorry. And it was just a few days later, they cut the budget.
And on top of that, in her speech about that, after that, she talked about when those countries come calling for more help and cash.
Oh, sorry.
We'll remember.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. Who's done that?
No one.
Not even Bush.
No one. Yeah. Oh, no. This was,
not even Reagan, I don't think, actually took action that was meaningful against the UN, even though they have never been a friend to the United States.
Ever. All they do is take our money.
Yes. Yes.
They need our money.
Yeah.
They need our money.
And we pump billions into that organization just to be condemned all the time.
I don't get it.
It's despicable.
I really don't. I don't understand it.
And so for this administration to take a different line on that, I think it's fantastic. I love to see it, and I hope it continues. Let's go to Tim in Ohio. Tim, you're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Well, good morning.
Morning.
Hey, I just wanted to say, Bill O'Reilly said one of his best movies was The Godfather. And The Godfather, a Turk guy came, wanted to sell the white powder.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, "Why do you come to me?" He said, "Well, you got the politicians in your pocket."
Right.
Well, he turning down everything.
Yes, he did.
I personally feel that Bill Clinton has the politicians in his pocket.
Yeah, possibly.
Glenn Beck.